a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Good morning to everyone out there. You are welcome to another edition of Everyday Muslim, powered by MPAC in collaboration with Women Radio. Everyday Muslim, the show where we delve into the heart of faith and its relevance to our daily lives, exploring unique topics and that dwells on our day-to-day activities. I am your host, Rashida Adetun Okeolaniyo, also known as Olori Adetun. Today, we are delving into another topic entirely. A topic that concerns every one of us, as usual. A topic that when we hear it, we always want it. At the same time, managing it can be an issue. And what's this topic? We are talking about financial literacy and planning responsible money management. Money is a trust that is an amana from Allah. How we earn, how we spend, and invest is part of our accountability. But before moving on, let's take a nasheed from Zain Bika titled Islam, the Way of Life.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a beautiful way. Do you know what Allah says? He says that life's a big, big test. He says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a beautiful way. Mercy for both you and me, peace and blessings upon He, Muhammad, the messenger of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a beautiful way.
If you're just joining us, you are tuned to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM Women Radio. Our phone lines will be open shortly for calls 07000-917-917, 07000-917-917. If you prefer to use the SMS or WhatsApp, 07031756537. We would love to hear your thoughts on this topic. As I said earlier on, money is a trust from Allah, and we are going to account for it. And that's why financial literacy is a necessity. Financial literacy isn't just about making money. It's about managing it wisely, planning for the future, and ensuring we uphold Islamic principles in all our financial dealings. Allah reminds us in the Quran, and those who, when they spend, do so not excessively, but are ever between that justly and moderately. That can be found in Surah Al-Furqan, Quran 25, verse 67. This verse emphasizes the importance of financial balance, neither being wasteful or we should not mize. Similarly, the Prophet wasalam, said, a prudent person is one who takes care of his financial matters and spends wisely. As we go through life, unexpectedly, financial challenges may arise. And without proper planning, it becomes very difficult for a lot of people to navigate them. Responsible money management ensures we are prepared for these situations while still being generous and fulfilling our obligations as Muslims and as human in general. Before I move on, our guest, a renowned person, a friend of the house, will be joining us virtually, and I would like to introduce him, and that's Dr. Jibril Salahuddin. As-salamu alaykum wa barakatuh, doctor.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much for having me in the studio this morning, and it's a pleasure being here. Thank you.
You're welcome, doctor.
Thank you
for joining us. Dr. Jibril Salahuddin is a seasoned C-level executive with extensive expertise spanning various industries, including FMCG, e-payments, home entertainment, distribution and logistics, security printing, and the oil and gas sectors. Currently serving as a general manager at New Mental Home, he led the team in establishing a robust distribution platform for home entertainment products in Nigeria. Previously, he held senior management roles in security printing and more recently in e-payments, where he served as the executive director overseeing a multi-billion naira business. With over two decades of experience, his expertise covers FCNG, oil and gas, telecommunication, distribution, consulting, security printing, e-payment, education. Dr. Salahuddin holds a PhD in finance from International Islamic University, Malaysia, and is also a fellow of Chatham Institute of Marketing, London, and Institute of Professional Sales, London. Actively engaged in sales education, Dr. Salahuddin is passionate about learning, research, micropayments, poverty eradication, writing, and farming. You can see that our guest is the right person for this topic. You're welcome once again, Dr. Salahuddin.
It's a pleasure being here. Thank you. Good morning.
If you're just joining us, you're tuned to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 Women Radio. Our phone will be open shortly, and to call us, 0700-917-917. For SMS or WhatsApp, 0703175637. Doctor, my first question to you. During my introduction, I said that, and a lot of people know that financial literacy is an important skill. I would like to ask, how essential is acquiring this financial literacy skill in today's world, and how can responsible money management lead to financial stability and success?
Very interesting question. Thank you for having me. And like you rightly said, one of the things that everybody wants to see himself or herself doing today is to be financially free. However, a lot of us would not know what to do. And that leads to quite a lot of challenge in the way that our finances are organized and in the way that we actually handled money. We need to lay down the foundation clearly. From the palace of Islam, money itself is not an asset, but what it transforms into. That is, if you keep money down on its own without backing it up with any other assets, it can't do anything for itself. And that is why money must be put to use for it to be able to also develop other assets. So yes, it is a medium of exchange. It is a store of value, but on its own, it is not an asset. Now, if we take that further, then we begin to look at what money can actually do and what we need to do in the transformation of money. And this, I say, we need to look at three quadrants. One, we have to learn how to earn money. We must learn how to earn it. As we go along in the discussion, I will further expand that. How to keep money is another area that we need to also note critically. And the third is how to make this money grow. Those are the three critical areas that, as we go along in the discussion, I will continue to expand them and we'll begin to see how they play out. Thank you.
Jazakallah, Karen. Thank you very much. You have mentioned three value things and said we need to learn how to earn money. We also need to know how to keep money and how to make money grow. Now, what is the single most transformative shift in mindset that separates those who struggle with money from those who achieve financial security regardless of their income?
Thank you very much. I mean, you just mentioned it. Unfortunately, there is no one singular transformative shift in earning halal money. If you want to earn your money ethically, you don't have one singular transformative shift. Rather, you have three quadrants that you have to master. And you don't have to go to the university to learn how to earn money, really. All you need to do is to ask yourself the question, how can I get better at earning money? Doing so ethically and doing so well that you need to develop more skills and evolve so that you have value that you can offer. If you don't have any value, you have no business earning money. If you don't have, let me emphasize it again, if you do not have any value to offer, you have no business earning money. It is not for you to do the hardest of job, but to do work with values and skills that makes you to stand up and stand at the top of the pyramid. So you must have, even if you are an organization or if you are an employee, if you have a way to solve problems for your employer or your organization, then you earn good money. If you can do that, then you are winning. Similarly, if you are a business owner, you are an entrepreneur, and you can think of how to add value in the form of product or services, then you reach more people, then you earn money. So it's as simple as that. But if you don't have any value addition that you can bring to the table, then you stop earning money. And as we go along, I will also, throw more light on that. Now, this is why some of the richest people in the world don't retire. One of the things they've learned to master is they've learned to add more value at all times. So you learn to earn money by aligning your work with your passion. The things you do, you must also be happy with it. When you are happy about what you're doing and you are happy with what you're doing, it radiates and people can see it. Now, to keep money, okay, there are people in the world that makes a lot of money, but they end up spending everything because out of wastage and looseness and lack of financial education, they waste all their money instead of them to keep it. So they don't know how to keep it, they waste it. So if you have yet to save money for yourself and for your own sake, one of the things you will take away from this program today is that you will also learn how to keep your money. All right? Much money you make right now, you need to learn how to measure it on a regular basis. So one of the things we recommend is that you need to develop a spreadsheet, either on a computer or even on an exercise book. Okay? And start tracking how much you have coming in and how much your expenses are. Then categorize this your expenses based on your rent, your car payment, your transportation, your food, your medicals, your phone bills. See which item is taking most of your money. Now, I want you to take cognizance of the fact that this will give you a pattern. If you keep it for 2-3 months, a pattern will emerge, and you begin to see where most of your money is going into. And you'll find that a lot of the people spend money and then wonder why they don't have any left. So you also want to create a budget. And when you create a budget, you then simply look at, okay, so this is where my money is going to. This is where I'm spending so much. This is where I need to spend less. This is where I'm actually wasting money. And if you're living paycheck to paycheck, then you now know that's a problem for you in life. So at first, you won't enjoy doing this. It is not as easy as I've just mentioned it. It's actually a lot of task. So at the beginning, you won't enjoy it. But what we advise as a rule of thumb is that no matter how much you make, no matter how big or small it is, okay, save minimum 33% of your earning. Save a minimum of 33% of your earning. That is the minimum. If you can save more, that's great. But the purpose of saving money is so that you can grow it for your future. Because a time will come when you will make more money. All right. I hope that's understood. So when you make enough money, you must learn to save also for emergencies. And what I mean by emergency is that your expenses for the next 4 to 6 months, if anything should happen and you stop any money, you must be able to cover yourself for the next 4 to 6 months without you going to beg anybody. So make sure you don't fall into the trap of people who don't save. No matter how small it is, save for emergency that will cover your 4 to 6 months. Don't mirror anybody in your spending. I say, okay, I want this person is enjoying himself. He has this color of shoes. He has this number of television. He needs this. And you want to start spending like that. Rather, you must mirror people in their halal earning. They are earning their money ethically in this regard. I also want to learn to be in that fashion, but not for you to waste. Okay? So you must be able to see that apart from your regular savings, you are able to also cover your expenses in this regard, and you were able to cover your emergencies as well. Let me stop here so that when we go further, I can expand some of the points as well. Thank you.
Jazakallah, Karen. You mentioned paycheck. And you mentioned that we should try as much as possible to save about 33% of our earnings. But there are some people that still fall into the same financial trap year after year. What are the most critical lessons to be learned and from these mistakes? And how can they be turned into stepping stones for their success?
This is interesting. And this is something you see all the time. Okay? You find people who live paycheck to paycheck, and you find them in financial crisis from time to time. It's the same thing that you find in them. It's so unfortunate, but I kid you not, there are more people with this type of problem, and they are everywhere, and this problem persists from time to time. So one of the challenges they have, and people who have this kind of problem, is that they are not able to make good financial decisions. They are not able to make good financial decisions. And when anyone is not able to make a good financial decision, then he runs into problem. The first decision is financial planning. How do I plan my money? If you don't have a plan for your money, you will spend without a direction. There's an old Chinese saying that says, if you don't know where you're going, wherever you find yourself is where you are going to. So planning your money, you must plan before you earn the money. And so part of the thing is that you plan what are the things that you need to do. Second is what we look at, the problem of delayed gratification. Delayed gratification or instant gratification. People want to reward themselves now. I have earned my money. I'm the one that did this work. Let me first of all go and use part of this money to go and enjoy myself now. So the now man will always run into the same problem again and again and again. Lack of investment. When you earn money, part of your money will also earn more money for you. So in the financial palace, we say you don't spend your money and you don't spend what is made from your investment. You spend what you made from your investment makes. So you spend the third generation of your investment. That is what you spend. Not that, okay, no, I have 5 million naira in investment. So now I have a profit of 450,000 naira on it. I start spending that 450,000 naira. No. You will spend what that 450,000 makes. Not the 5 million, not the 400,000, but what that 400,000 makes. That is what you spend. So I've mentioned planning, I've mentioned investment, and I've mentioned delay gratification. Don't start rewarding yourself instantly. I'll give you an example. When I used to be in paid employment, I was a managing director in one of the company. I have this gentleman, let me just call him K. Okay? And he will come in year after year to come and borrow money for his rent from the company. Every year he will come around, he will come and borrow rent. So after the third year, I asked for the list of how many times he has borrowed based on record from finance. And it was shown that he has been borrowing money in the company to pay his rent over 9 years.
Wow.
Every year he will come, he will borrow money, he will pay his rent. The next year, same thing. Round cycle, 9 years consistently. So that particular year he came around and he said, sir, I need to pay my rent. And I said to him, gentleman, this is the last time you came in to borrow for the 10th time. I said, this is the last time you're going to borrow. I'm going to give you this money, but from next year, I'm not going to give you a dime. So you have two options. Either you leave this company and go and get another job, or you learn to fix up your financial issues and learn to pay your rent, but we won't borrow your money again. But if you're not comfortable with that, then you can do whatever you want. And I said this intentionally so that I'd make him to start thinking. And he left. He borrowed the money, he left. 2 months into it, he came back into my office and said, sir, you say you're not going to borrow me money again? I said, yes. He said, so how do you want me to survive? I said, I don't know. Maybe you go under the bridge of Lagos. I'm going to start living there with your family. But I'm not going to borrow you any money again. To my surprise, this guy came back and he populated his expenses, monthly expenses, on a spreadsheet. And he showed me, say, this is the way I've been spending my money, sir. Do you think I've been wasting money? And I took just one look at it. And I said to him, of course, yes, you have been wasting money. And he said, where? And I pointed at an item for him. I said, do you know that this item, if you take it off your life, and it has no meaning, if you take it off your life and you stop it, okay, you just need 7 months, you cover your rent for a year. And that's all we did. We identified all wastage, we blocked that hole, he kept the money aside, and he never took rent again until I left the company 4 years after. So they exist in virtually everyone. And as such, when we were even in consulting and we would ask people, that's what we say to them. We say, one, do a honest analysis of your spending. And we're able to see that. I hope that helps.
Yes. Thank you very much. And that story, there's a big lesson there, actually. There's a big lesson there, which every one of us, we need to just go back. Have a spreadsheet. Even if you don't have it on your computer, you can just put it down on the paper and see what you have been spending on. Exactly, Kyren. If you are just joining us, you are tuned to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM, Women Radio. Our phone lines are now open for calls 07000-917-917. For SMS or WhatsApp, 070-317-56537. Doctor, there is something they call money phobia. Can you briefly explain what it is?
Interesting. The concept of, when you look at the word itself, the phobia, you know that it is a concept that is mostly used in the medical palace, right? And you also find psychology also using the concept of phobia. They use it a lot, okay? And what you then find is that in the financial palace, we also use the same thing. There are a chromatophobia, which is an extreme fear of money, especially spending it. There are people who have problem spending money. And to some extent, they go to even becoming misers. So it makes them very hard for them to pay bills, to spend money even when they can afford to. They develop intense fear, anxiety, or panic. Some even have problem when it comes to seeing money, especially in large number, to smell money or to even touch money. They also have anxiety when they even start thinking about money. And these are born of different experiences that they've had. Some have anxiety when they are near expensive things like jewelry, cars, artwork, or something like that. They start trembling. Some also have money-related ruminations that cause sweating, shaking, or muscle tension. Some even have panic attack. Okay? So these are phobia that a lot of people have based on different experience that they've had with money. And some, even their family will go hungry and they find it difficult to spend money on them. Okay? So these are different type of things that happens to people and when they have phobia with money. But usually what we advise them to do is that they should look for therapists that will help them with coping strategies. They should look for, because at that point, I tell you, it's a sickness. You will find people who are very hungry and they find it difficult to even buy food to eat. Some will go to stores, they will look at a number of things on the shelf and they will walk away. But they have the money. They will not buy it. Even they become misers to themselves. So they are suffering. People around them are suffering. Their children and family and siblings are suffering. And even the community is suffering. They just like to hoard money and they find it very difficult to spend. So those are huge challenges and they actually need therapies. For some, they just need to build emergency fund. They have fear because they don't have. Because they don't have, they have fear. So when you mention anything that has to do with money, they are afraid. They are afraid out of fear. Some have borrowed and they have borrowed unwisely. So because they borrowed unwisely, they spend money on frivolities. So they also have fears because they can't pay back those money they borrowed. We've seen people who have announced their own obituary because they cannot pay back debts. They print posters and announce their own obituary out of phobia. Okay, so those are challenges with money. Thank you.
Thank you very much. With all we have been saying, it's obvious that financial literacy is more than just a number. It is an empowerment. How does understanding money equip individuals to reclaim control over their lives and shape their own destinies? Similar to the question of money phobia, but a bit extensive.
Yeah. You see, financial literacy is something that we must have. I recall the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the dua of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And in his dua, he said, Allahumma inni a'uzubika min al-kufri wal-fakri.
Assalamu alaikum. So sorry, I need to cut you. We have a phone call. We lost the caller.
All right.
Continue. Thank you.
The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke, make a dua. He made a prayer. And in the supplication, he said, Allahumma inni a'uzubika min al-kufri wal-fakri wa azab al-qabr. Say, oh Allah, I seek your intervention min al-kufr, from unbelief, wal-fakr, and poverty, wa azab al-qabr, and the punishment of the grief. See where Allah has placed poverty, fakr, in the middle of two extremes. Azab al-qabr is an extreme. Kufr is an extreme. In the middle, he now locates fakr. Now, it then means that we need to learn about this. So, financial literacy, we need a cognitive understanding of financial components and skill for us to stay above water. We need to understand how to make our budget, how to invest, how to borrow, when not to borrow, and how to pay back. How the role of taxation in our life, how to take advantage of all the different tax holidays, and how to manage our personal financial life. Now, the absence of all of this is what we call financial illiteracy. Unfortunately, financial literacy is not taught in school. So being financially literate is a skill that brings forth an assortment of benefits that can improve both the standard of living of an individual through in the increase of our financial stability. Because even worship becomes difficult when you are not financially stable. In the Arkan al-Islam, there are only of the five Arkan, there are only three you'll be able to perform. You will not be able to go on Hajj and you will not be able to pay zakat when you are not financially buoyant. So the assortment of benefits that follows being financially literate include ability to make better financial decisions, effective management of money and debts, you are greater equipped to reach your financial goal, you are able to do a reduction of expenses through better regulations, and you have less financial stress and anxiety. Most of the people you find on the street will wrinkle on their face and gray hair on their head. A lot of them have not even got to age 50. But already they are stressed and there's a lot of anxiety in them because they are financially messed up. Okay? So they will not enjoy also the benefit of increase in ethical decision making when selecting takaful, which is insurance, investment, which is ethical, and using of different financial instruments that they can do. Also, they will not even know how to better invest their money. They don't know which investment class and at what time they need to even take advantage of them. So they will also not be able to have structured budget that they can lean on. So all of this will not happen to them. But once you have financial literacy, you'll be able to have all of this. So making steps to become financially literate is an important component of life. And it can ensure financial solidity. When you're solid financially, it reduces your anxiety and it stimulates the achievement of your financial goals. Hmm. I hope that helps you.
Exactly, Karen. Okay. So in the journey of financial freedom, what is one unshakable principle that if embraced constantly can determine success or failure? Now, this financial freedom I'm talking about has to do with either you're a student, a single person, or a married, or the couples. Let me put it that way. Okay, before you go ahead, we have a caller. Assalamu alaikum. Good morning. Your name and where are you calling from?
Yes, I'm Yusuf, Muhammad Yusuf Alami. I'm calling from Alakoko, Lagos.
You're welcome.
I've been listening to our doctor, on financial literacy. I want to ask, in a situation where there is inflation, or the economy is not helping us, people's financial status, like maybe the salary is not even enough. It's not for the transportation, is even taking much. So, let me relate it with Nigerian education now. So, people are not earning much. Not that they are not willing to save. So, how do we marry this situation with the topic being discussed today? So, how what are the ways, to resolve and to come out of such situation? So, that's my question.
Zakullah, Karen, a very important question. Over to you, doctor.
I didn't get the question.
Okay, so he said, looking at the situation in Nigeria today, inflation, yes, economy, minimum wage, with the topic at hand, the person wants to save, but what they have at hand is not even enough. How can the person manage?
You can't have enough if you don't have enough skill to separate you from the pack. That's where we started this discussion from. We started this discussion from, if you want to earn more, you have to have more values. If you have more values, you will earn more. If I'm doing an 8-to-5 job or a 9-to-5 job, and I have my Saturday and Sunday free for myself that I can use to put, and I have other skills that I can deploy within those periods, then I will be earning more money. We know of people who work 8-to-5 and from 7 to 12, they are also doing some other job remotely from other organizations outside of the shore of Nigeria, and they are earning more. So they are earning double income. In some cases, even what they even earn within 7 to 12 or 7 to 11 is more than what they are currently earning locally. So it means they have added more value to themselves and they can earn more. So if you are earning less than can cover your bills, I'm talking of savings, it means you have less value. You need to go and look for a way to increase your value and you can earn more. There are people who run 3 to 4 jobs in this country today and from different parts of the world. And because the world of work has also changed, people have learned to do multiple things to also earn halal income. Thank you.
Ah, jazakallah, Karen. You said, I want to pick a question from your answer, that you can work, you can have about 3 different jobs so that you can earn more. What about the case, what time? Because somebody can pick up and say that, okay, you said I should go into 2 or 3 more jobs so I can earn more. When do I need to rest? What do I do? My weekdays is from 8 to 7 or 8 to 5. I need to go back to my family. My weekend again, I'm out. How do I manage myself when it comes to mental health and finance?
You know the people who sleep so much and they rest so much are the people who don't have money. Yeah, because they're always sleeping, they're always resting, they're always complaining, that's what they do. Now, when you see people who have financial freedom, you think they are resting? They're always checking their numbers. People who will not go through their account statement to see whether they've been overcharged by the banks are people who don't have. People who have, they will get somebody to even sit down and check it for them line by line to make sure that they can also save an additional money. And most times, they save more money than what they pay that person that is helping them to choose to check those numbers. So what we do most time is that we want to give ourselves some gratification when we have not earned enough. I'm not saying you will not sleep. You can choose your sleep time between 11 o'clock to 6 o'clock or to 5 o'clock. You can do that. You can also decide not to choose any job. And once you close from work, you're at home at 6, you start sleeping till the next day. No problem. But each of them have its merit and demerits. So it's for us to choose.
Thank you very much for that clarity. So back to my question. I said, in the journey of financial freedom, what is the one unshakable principle that, if embraced consistently, can determine success or failure? And I was going to explain that this financial freedom has to do with either you are a student, you are single, or you are married. So what's that
okay,
one
principle? So the financial requirement of these three classes of people are different. They're not the same. So they don't have a singular underlining factor for the three of them. The financial requirement of a student is for him to pay his school fees, read his book, and eat. That's all. The financial requirement of a single person before he gets married is trying to get some level of clarity about life and what he needs to do before he gets married. Now, once you get married, your expenses pattern also changes immediately. By the time you start having children, your expenses pattern changes again. When you approach your 50s, you have the mid-50 crisis in terms of your finances if you didn't plan your 30s and your 40s. Okay? So you can see that at different time, your requirement in terms of what you earn, what you spend, what you save, and what you invest are different. So let's start with investment. We say that when you start work and you are about 20, 25, up to 30, those are the time for you to build your stock. If you want to buy that class of assets, you are buying shares. You don't start buying shares in your mid-50s and 60s. Nobody will tell you to do that. Because your investment is a function of your age, your income, and your risk appetite. So as a student, the more money that you're getting are coming from relatives and maybe the side hustle that you have, which is halal. So you are eating and you're subsidizing whatever you are being given as stipend from home. Also, in other jurisdiction, nobody goes to school from age 1 to age 25. It's only in Nigeria you find those kind of things. In most jurisdictions, they make you to break within academics and work, so you begin to value money. But for us, we just transfer these children to school from age 1 to 25. They don't do anything. So they don't have any regard for money, and they don't have direction when money comes in. And in some homes too, money is not taught. Financing is not taught as a lesson. So people don't know. So that requirement is different. Now, when you now, as when you after work, after school, and you now have a work, either you work for yourself or you have a paid job. Thank God, most of the paid jobs are disappearing. So people will learn to work for themselves more. So at that point, your financial requirement takes a second phase in life. At that point, you are trying to build the base for yourself, which we call the foundation. So at that point, you're putting different portfolios together. At that point, you need an expert who will help you with your future portfolio planning. In which city do you live? What are the investments and asset class that you need to put money into? We will tell you to have less cash around your surrounding, because that is when all the joys and the flavor looks good to you. You want to party, you want to do that, you want to do this. And so the tendency is that you'll be wasting so much money. So the asset class such as commodities, such as real estate, such as stocks will then be introduced to you, to then see where your passion lies, and your investment manager will be able to align that with your life. Then you move to a stage when you get married. At that stage, your investment pattern changes, because it is not just about you now, but somebody else is involved. For a lady, a man is involved. For a man, a woman is involved. So both of you need to sit down. What we advise Muslims is that everybody has a right. A Muslim under the Sharia of Islam has a right. A Muslim woman has a right to own properties. You need to sit down, discuss it, and you know what are the things that you want in your life and what direction you want to go in life. And so, again, you need a qualified Islamic financial practitioner, and they help you to plan this. As a man, you also know at that point that your financial responsibility has changed. An additional is in the family, so your wife's responsibility, feeding, clothing, shelter, mobility, health, everything is part of your responsibility now. Okay? So your planning and saving patterns and investment pattern will also take a different turn. Then when you now get into the peak of your career, at that point, it is expected that you will start reaping from your investments, and that leads you into your retirement. So you discover that at different stages, what you require, they vary. So the fundamentals are not the same. So that's the way they play out. So when you get to that age, when you're already into retirement, you are not just also spending everything, but you go into a different class of investments. We call it the fixed income investment. You start looking at sukuk. You start looking at Islamic commercial papers. You start looking at reaping from your real estates, redeveloping or refinancing those real estates. Those are fixed income investments. If you didn't plan your 20s and your 30s and your early 40s very well, in your mid-50s, then you'll run into financial crisis. By which time, all of your children will be in school, your income will start dwindling, so you'll be struggling. So that's the way it plays out.
Zakula Karen, we have a question here. Assalamu alaikum barakatuh. I'd like to thank WFM and MPAC for this wonderful program. I'd like to send my petition to the guest speaker today. I have a question. Nigerians are currently facing numerous financial challenges due to economic hardship. Inflation is a significant issue, with rising prices reducing the purchasing power of citizens, and so is unemployment, which has reached alarming levels, particularly among young people. In this current situation, how can young people be persuaded and convinced to keep to ethical standards and values in seeking financial freedom and stability. How can Nigerians in general actually become financially stable in a current situation of economic instability and worsening economic hardship? Thank you, sir.
Okay, so ethics is a choice. And the choice is for Muslims. And Islam has made ethical living, ethical earning, and ethical spending a motto on all of us. The flip side of that is you decide to live unethically, you account for every kobo. The good thing about Islam is that for every money you earn, you have to account for it. For every money you spend, you have to account for it. It's a trust that has been endeared on you, and you have to account for every kobo about it. So that solves the case of ethics. It is a choice for you to make. If you decide that you can withstand the pressure from Allah, you can decide to live unethically, and that will be your business. But the best thing to do at all time is to remain ethical. Now, if you also go unethical, the long arms of the law will catch up with you. And when it does, it will be disastrous. You will not only bring yourself to shame, you also bring your family and your community to shame. And that is why a lot of people refrain from all of that as well. For us as Muslims, we have no option but to be ethical, except you want to find any other thing outside of the fold of Islam. Ethics and ethics all the way. Now, if inflation, and I like the use of the coloring word, is at alarming rates. And the last time I checked, I think we are 32 or 34%. We're hovering between 32 to 34%, and we're seeing a downward slope. In the last 4 weeks, we have been seeing downward slope in terms of inflation. The major inflation we have now in turn are the food inflation, which a lot of it are a contribution of what we are adding to it as speculators for food. A lot of the food are not as expensive as we're trying to kill ourselves on it. Everybody is just adding so that we continue to kill ourselves. And for as long as we want to live unethically, we'll continue to suffer. That is as straightforward as that. But one of the things you do is that at all time, that word inflation is always there. And government will always battle with inflation at different ends. The whole world today is going through inflation. I was watching the price of egg in America yesterday on satellite TV. And it has gone up. Even tomatoes has gone up. And so different things, and different things accounting for it in different jurisdictions. Now, you need to edge against inflation at all times. One of the ways and weapons you edge.
Assalamu alaikum. Okay. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Okay, we lost you a bit. You can continue.
All right, sorry about that. I say one of the things you can use to edge inflation is to use different portfolio of investments. And usually, if you are not an expert in this, you need to consult an expert. And there are experts out there who will teach you how to use your different tools to edge inflations. Because inflation will always be part of us. It can be low, it can be high, but it will always be part of us. As long as you have the global economy, which is not being checked by Islamic fundamentals. So you continue to have different inflation level at different countries, and some are even imported inflations, so they will continue to happen. So you need to edge it, and for you to edge it, you need different instruments, and you need to consult experts for this who will do a diagnosis of your earning and then be able to recommend the right tools for you. I hope that helps.
Yeah, exactly, Karen. I'm sure that our listener too has also gained something from that. My next question, Doctor. Our relationship with money is often dictated not by logic, but by emotion. How can one develop a discipline and mental resilience needed to make wealth-building decisions that can stand the time or the test of time? Do we have a caller? Okay, we have a caller. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Okay. So as I was saying, our relationship with money is often dictated not by the logic, but by emotion. How can one develop the discipline and mental resilience needed to make wealth-building decisions that can stand the test of time. At the same time, there are some people that they have the value, but because from your profile, you are also into marketing, but the person cannot market themselves properly. How can you merge both of them together?
Okay, so first of all is, for any skill that you have, you are the number one salesman of that skill. Nobody is going to help you to sell it. Everybody is trying to sell theirs, so you must learn to sell it. Selling is not something that a lot of us are actually born with. Nobody is born with it. So we all acquire it. And what we say to people is that if you don't know how to sell your skill, please come and learn so that we can teach you how to sell it, how to sell your skill. We'll be able to identify which is your core skills, and we'll say, okay, so this is how you go better to sell it. Let me give you an instance. I can be the best photographer in the world. If I don't know how to market myself as a photographer, there is no way I will earn from photography. I must learn how to go put myself out there and tell people that I am a photographer. If I don't get to do that, then it becomes a problem for me. And now, taking from that again, we spoke about the issue of emotion. You see, to be successful with anything in life, we have to be careful and put our emotion into check and begin to face some hard facts. I've seen people who are very emotional when it comes to buying. We call them impulse buyer. Whatever they see that they're happy with, they just buy, even when they don't need it. Supermarket love those people. Supermarket, they love them. And it's easy. Even when you go into their homes, you know that these are impulse buyers. You see somebody that has 3 television sets, and you ask, can anybody watch 3 television sets? It doesn't make sense. Say, no, you know, I would like to have one in my bedroom. Is your bedroom meant to watch television or for you to sleep? So, impulse buying are built on emotion. And so if we don't put it onto check, it leads us into financial dooms. So, what do we need to do? The first thing you need to do is have a budgeted purchase. This is how I want to spend my money in the month of March. So you are guided. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's how you are guided. Secondly, for those who earn less, don't go for expensive brands. Don't go for expensive brands. Okay? You know you are earning less. Why do you want to buy expensive brands? A lot of people also think that buying a car is an investment. It's actually a cost center. So if you have not made so much money in your life, why are you buying expensive cars? Or why are you keeping 2, 4, 5, 6 cars? To do what for you? You can't ride 2 cars at the same time. These are areas where we put in so much money and we actually put a lot of emotion into place and we actually lose a lot of values. So we need to separate our emotion from reality. And one of the ways to do that, like I say, is you have a budget. Then make savings an habit, or make it an expense. Make savings an expense. So when you are budgeting your gari, your fufu, your yam, make savings an item in your budget as well that you must save. So that helps you to take out a lot of emotions out of what you're doing. I hope that helps as well.
Yeah, thank you very much. Among the countless pieces of financial advice ever given, which single insight has had the most profound impact on real world success, and why does it matter now more than ever?
Okay, we have learn to earn. Okay,
we have a caller.
Yeah, let's take the caller.
Okay, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Your name and where are you calling from?
Yes, I'm Yusuf Olamide. I have a question. Yes, sorry. Many people do consider those who are very financially disciplined about their, spending. So, as Muslims, You know, at times we do have unexpected expenses that come your way, you know, during Ramadan, all this stuff, and even in mosque. So how can one manage such? You know, I know you have talked about emotion, but there are, you know, expenses that at least you need to do. So people do consider people who are financially disciplined, you know, to be mean or to be, you know, not to be spending. So, how can one
strike
out that emotion and work it out?
Thank you, Zach
Law,
Karen. Doctor,
did
you get that?
I didn't.
Okay, so he said, for those people, there are some people that they are financially, they're financially prudent, they know what they want. At the same time, people still see them as tight-fisted. They don't want to spend. And there's some emergencies that comes in, just like Ramadan is coming, people always want to come to them. And you also talk about the budgeting for the month. How can they manage balancing themselves, people around them, emergencies that comes in, and their budgets?
Okay, I get that. You know, tight-fisted people know themselves that they are also tight-fisted. Let's be honest with ourselves. That a miser does not know is a miser is not true. A tight-fisted person knows that he's also tight-fisted. However, the person who is also prudent sometimes is mistaken. He's being mistaken for being tight-fisted. That happens as well. In fact, society, especially now, we always just look at you because your shirt is clean and they think you are rich and they say, let's come and take some money from you.
Mm-hmm.
You are not under any obligation to give money to them. The obligation of Allah are very clear. Okay? Whatever you want to do outside of it is sadaqah. And sadaqah, a number has not been fixed to it. But if you are cheating on that, if you know you have, and you are deliberately refusing to give, you know the truth. But if you don't have it, you know that those money are not available for you to give to people at this point, you also know. So make your budget in the most prudent way that you will free your conscience and you satisfy the law of Allah. That is the easiest way to go about it. Don't try to satisfy people and go into debt. Because at the end, you will be asked who asked you to go and collect it. Did we beg you to go and take debt for us? So we have to be careful of about this. Some people who are prudent, really, they will be labeled. Because people who think that they can just come and collect money from just anybody. But by the time you tell them no, and you ask them, what do you need the money for? I've seen a situation where somebody asked me for money and I say, what do you need this money for? He said, and the reply to me was, if you give me, don't ask me what I need the money for. I say, in that case, you can just go to your bank and go and ask. Because even if you want to take the money from the bank will ask you what you need it for. So that balance needs to be made, and we need to make that balance and make sure that we're able to satisfy the law of Allah, we're able to satisfy our mind with it. And that will be sufficient, inshallah.
Jazakallah, Karen. Thank you very much for coming on to the show. Jazakallah, Karen. Once again, to our listeners, financial literacy, financial stability. Let us all be intentional with our finances, plan wisely, and seek Allah's guidance in our financial decisions. A financially stable person, Muslim, is an empowered Muslim. Jazakallah, Karen, once again, Dr. Jibril Salahuddin, for coming here.
Pleasure is mine. Thank you very much.
A big thank you to our listeners and, of course, to our producer, Ayomide, and the engineer, Timmy, as well as MPAC and Women Radio, 91.7 FM, for this collaboration. May Allah grant us all baraka in our world and also guide us towards financial stability.